Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Welcome in. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We have our Tuesday edition of the program. Have you for a full 2 hours. You got a lot of me tonight. That's the way it was last night, too. And you know what? It resulted in a Cardinals victory. So let's do that again. Cardinals got a good win yesterday, knocking off the Dodgers 3-2. And we'll see what happens this evening. But we do welcome you into the program. We've got a couple guests that are going to be on. You know, I've gotten a lot of questions lately about the players that the Cardinals got back. And I can go read like a scouting report on them. Yeah, and when I say got back, I'm talking about at the trade deadline. In the Helsley, Mats, and Maton deals. I can go read a scouting report on them. Anybody can do that. But it would be disingenuous for me to sit here and say, this guy's going to be this guy's going to be that. So I wanted to talk to somebody who's smarter than me, which that doesn't take much, but I wanted to talk to somebody who was smarter than me, especially when it comes to prospects. We are going to be joined in about 5 minutes or so by Sam Dykstra. He is part of the team over at MLB Pipeline. He is so locked in on prospects. So yeah, we'll talk with him and basically ask him about every single player, all six players that the Cardinals got back at the deadline and what he thought. So Sam's going to join us here in just a little while. And then Corey Miller, our good friend from Channel 5 KSDK, he's going to join us at 7:05. So those are the guests today. We're going to kind of continue what we were doing during Redbird Rush Hour. This is our Tuesday tradition, I guess. And the fact that we have a full 2 hour Sports Open Line allows us to do this. So this is going to be, we're streaming. We continued the stream. For those of you who are watching Redbird Rush Hour, thanks for sticking with us. For those of you who are just joining us here on Sports Open Line, we'll continue the stream. We're doing this new, by the way, for our loyal video viewers. Previously, we had always ended the stream at Redbird Rush Hour's end and started a new stream for Sports Open Line. And I made the decision to stop doing that. I'll tell you why I made the decision. We have a chat, and it's a lot of people on YouTube are on the chat. And the chat sometimes doesn't even involve what we're talking about on the air. It's become kind of a community on any given day for people to come together and talk about Cardinals baseball as they're watching this. And when I end the YouTube video and then start a new one, that chat goes away. So I've been so heartened by the fact that so many people are watching and talking with each other and kind of making that part of the conversation that I wanted to make sure not to end that after just 1 hour of Redbird Rush Hour. So we're going to do this now. We're going to continue the video on the same stream after we wrap up Redbird Rush Hour, right into Sports Open Line. That way, all of you folks who are chatting about what we're talking about on the chat and everything, you can just keep on going with that while also watching this video and being tuned into this show. So I hope you like that. That was a decision that I made, and we'll get. But the point I was trying to get to before I started patting myself on the back was We're getting questions. So today is going to be a very kind of conversational type show for the 2 hours. We'll have the two guests, and then we'll kind of roll through different topics about the Cardinals based off the things that Oliver Marmol said today, kind of like Kevin and I do a little bit on Redbird Rush Hour. It's going to be a few more cuts, a few more things to get to. We're going to do all of that, and then we'll take your thoughts on it as well. So, you know, one of the things that I really enjoy about these Tuesdays is, you know, during Gas House Gang, they talk to Ollie, and they get tons of information from Ollie, but they're not really able to break down what Ollie says and their opinions on it, whether they agree, whether they disagree, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether it's something that you could maybe go in a different direction with. So that's what we try to do later on in the day. So even if you listened in, and I hope you did, even if you listened in to what Ollie had to say, even though you're going to hear again what he had to say on certain topics, it's going to be more the cuts from him, and then we're going to jump in there and chime in on some of the things that he gets to. So here is just some of the topics that we're going to touch on between, but hopefully before we get done at 8, if we can get to three of it, get to all of it. The expectation on the three young starters that this team has, with McGreevy and obviously Pallante being in there. Just what you want to see from the starters that are going to be back next year. So it kind of took Miles Michaelis out of the conversation, even to a certain extent Sonny Gray out of the conversation, because you kind of know what you have when it comes to him. But when it comes to McGreevy and Liberatore and Pallante, what you want to see from those guys, not just through the end of this year, but next year. We'll hear from on kind of the communication that he had with players around the deadline. We'll talk some Joel Pozo and how the organization was able to find him. Could Kyle Leahy be moved into a starter? What are the opportunities that players are going to be given post-deadline? What is there to learn about players post-deadline? How things are going to look at third base? How do you get Nolan Gorman in the lineup every day? Like, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff, and we are going to touch on all of that as we go through the program. So, again, if you want to chime in on anything, you have the opportunity to do so. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. We'll open up the phone lines a little bit later. The text line is always open at 314-436-7900. You can always tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And as I mentioned earlier, for those of you watching on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, there's also the opportunity for you to be able to just put it in the chat, and we'll see that as we go along. So we'll take a break, and when we return, Sam Dykstra is going to join us as we'll get his thoughts on the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Cardinals and the various prospects that they brought in at the trade deadline. Our conversation with Sam Dykstra on the way in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Back to the Graybar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We have Cardinals baseball for you tonight. They match up against the Dodgers, game two of a three-game series. Of course, it is the post-trade deadline portion of the season. The Cardinals very active, and talk a little bit about what came into the organization. We are very happy to welcome on the program. He is part of the team over at MLB Pipeline. They do a great job covering the prospect world of baseball. He is Sam Dykstra. You follow him on Twitter at Sam Dykstra, M-I-L-B. Sam, thanks for coming on the program. Welcome back onto the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get into some of the individuals in a second, but Cardinals bring six players into the organization with the trades of Ryan Helsley, Phil Maton, and Steven Matz. Generally speaking, did you like what they were able to get back in those deals?
Yeah, I think individually it was an okay return. I mean, you look at the Ryan Helsley trade and you think maybe there would be somebody with a higher ceiling than Jesus Baez who would have come back, because we know how in demand closers are. But Baez entering the year was a really good prospect, loud exit velocities last year, really good in zone contact. And I think the Cardinals may be getting him at a right time where, you know, the production's dipped a little bit, but they can rework him. They can make him in the mold that they want. And he's not somebody who's nearly a finished product, somebody more like Blaze Jordan, who's knocking on the door. So there's an interesting mix. You always need more pitching. They get a couple of position players. It's not somebody who's going to knock a J.J. Weatherholt off the top spot. Nobody close to that. But they're adding depth here, and that's always desirable for your farm system.
Your colleagues at Baseball America had Baez as a top 100 prospect before the season got started. To what you just said, he fell out of that, and some other publications, like you folks, didn't have him there. But what has maybe happened over the last 3, 4, 5 months with Baez that his stock has dropped a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I won't comment on that. Why BA may have had him as a top 100 guy. They have their process. They do great work over there. But, you know, when we were looking at him coming into the year, he was coming off a torn meniscus in his right knee. We wanted to see how he would respond to that. That's a pretty major knee issue. So it's understandable that maybe it takes a full year to get your bearings back. Also, I don't want to overlook that it's really difficult to hit at high A Brooklyn. I know many people in the St. Louis area maybe haven't been to Coney Island, but it's just as you imagine. There are roller coaster rides going on beyond left field, in center field. The batter's eye is difficult. Right field is practically on the beach. You got the wind blowing in. So it makes for a difficult hitting environment. Getting him out of there may do him some good as well. But overall, I think coming off the knee was the biggest thing for Baez.
Yeah, that group of three all getting assigned to a high A Peoria in the Midwest League, that's a little bit of a different environment.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Midwest League is pretty pitcher-friendly in its own right, but you're getting away from literal sea level in Brooklyn and with those winds and just the distractions. There's so many things that can go on for hitters there.
The other two players that they got, you mentioned them in Dome, and Dome does slot into your guys' Cardinals top 30. The third player in Frank Ellisalt doesn't come into the top 30. What did you think of those two individuals?
Yeah, Nate Dome, kind of interesting. I mean, he gets tons of extension. It's around 6.8 feet. So it's 92 to 95 mile an hour fastball with 18 inches of ride. Plays above that velocity. He's got a gyro slider that plays pretty well off of that, and then an upper 80s changeup, very, very occasional upper 70s curveball. So it's a traditional starter's mix. I think he's still building something. He last year dealt with a little bit of an injury, was pitching out of the bullpen late at Mississippi State. So this year he's been a starter. He's still kind of building up to that third round pick. I think, again, like I was saying with Baez, like you get him at an early stage of his developmental curve and you can help him finish off that, those traits, work off of that. I think he's very much a starting pitcher. Frank Ellisalt is also interesting. I mean, it was a good find by the Mets. Mid-90s fastball from a really low release. You watch him pitch, it looks like he's buzzing it right above bats. He's also got a mid-80s slider and upper 80s cutter. He's on the older side. He's about a year older than Nate Dome, and he was pitching at the same level. So I'm a little hesitant to put him on the top 30 for now. He definitely could. I received some feedback today of, like, he's right on the line there, so you could see him maybe by the end of the year. But it's really a special fastball, and that's what's going to drive him and maybe get him into a bullpen for good at some point. A
couple college pitchers there. Is it pretty important, and you alluded to their age? I mean, these are guys that probably have to graduate from single A pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, getting into high A is good for them for now. I would like to see either of them maybe touch double A by the end of the year. That's typically what I would like to see out of college guys. But again, like Nate Dome last year was pretty limited, so he's still building up his workload. He's at 65 innings there right now. I don't think he's going to get to 100 by the end of the year. But I think in an ideal world, when you take a college pitcher, you would like to see them in double A. They're slightly behind that curve, but again, there's different circumstances for each of them.
Without a doubt, the favorite return player for Cardinals fans is Blaze Jordan. He's the guy who comes over from Boston in the Steven Matz deal. This guy has been he's been a celebrity for a while. I mean, you go back to 13, 14 years old when he's hitting 400, 500-foot home runs. And to his credit, he then turned that kind of celebrity into a guy who has steadily made his way up through the minor league system. And now he's on the doorstep of the big leagues at AAA. What's the next step for this guy? What do the Cardinals need to do from a development standpoint to turn him into somebody who can be a factor at the major league level?
Yeah, I think the big question for me is, where is he going to land defensively? Because the bat is already knocking on the door of major league readiness. It's above average power production already, the 90th percentile in in-zone contact. He chased a lot in Worcester before the trade, but he was also good at making contact against non-fastball. So he's like pretty much checking every box except for that. You would want him to be a little bit more selective. But the question for me is, where is he going to land defensively? He lacks range, so he's likely a first baseman, though he split time early between third and first. So they're still trying to get him work at both corner spots. But, when you're a righty throwing, righty hitting first baseman, that offensive bar is pretty high. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to give him as many reps at third base as they can. But even so, he's still likely to slide over to first base, and then you're bumping into Contreras, and that can be an issue. He is Rule 5 eligible this offseason, so they'll have a decision on their hands. But the way he's hitting, I think he's most likely going to be added to the 40-man.
Rob Serfolio is the Cardinals' assistant GM for player development. We had him on the show yesterday, and he said that they are going to continue to play him at third base, kind of like you just said. So I'm with you. I have a hard time believing his long-term role is at third base, but for at least now, it seems like the Cardinals are going to continue to give him reps there.
Yeah, they have every responsibility and every reason to keep trying him out at those spots. And you never know, something might click at some point. You never know where there's an opening, right? There could be an injury at any time. And if he hasn't been playing third base in 5 weeks, but that's where the spot in St. Louis is open, you don't want to shove him up there for his major league debut at a position he's cold at. So keep trying him between both spots, and something might open down the line, or figure it out when the rubber really hits the road, but that's not coming until 2026 for a player like this.
Two players come over from Phil Maton from the Texas Rangers in Skylar Hales and Mason Molina. I found it interesting. These guys were right next to each other towards the back end of the Rangers top 30. When you guys shift over to the Cardinals, Molina comes in at 26 while Hales is not on the Cardinals top 30. Does that just show a little bit more depth on the back end of the top 30 for the Cardinals as compared to the Rangers?
I think part of that is the fact that, we haven't fully updated our rankings. We made some tweaks right before the trade deadline, but we haven't truly shaken things up. So I think by the time we would have shaken things up for the Rangers, you may have seen Hales fall off. I mean, it's a mid-90s fastball, mid-80s slider. It's a classic relief pitcher profile right now, but the fastball was getting crushed at AAA, so his stock was going down a little bit. Meanwhile, Molina looks much more like a potential starting pitcher with that really, really good changeup and the fastball that works at the top of the zone, even though the velocity is around 90 to 91. So I think that's more reflective here, is that Molina was building his stock while Hale was kind of slipping a little bit. But if we had updated the Rangers list, you would have seen that happen before the trade.
Molina's already been traded twice. He was originally selected by the Brewers. Maybe that's a good sign for the Cardinals because the Brewers are so good at finding pitching. But for a young guy who's had a very short professional career, he's had an eventful career so far.
Yeah, and I always find that interesting when I talk to players about when they've been traded. How do you view it? Do you view it as the other organization wanted me and they wanted to acquire me and bring them in? Or is it this other organization that I'm just coming from found me, you know, found that I was replaceable or that I could be dealt? Most of them say that they like to be desired, and I totally understand that from a human point of view. Here, I think this, in this case, Molina, before he had pitched for the Brewers, didn't have a ton of value for them, flip him for somebody who could help them at the major league level. And now for the Cardinals, they get to build off what the Rangers had done. He had pretty good results, 92 strikeouts in 74 innings. And to the Rangers' credit, they built him into a trade piece. Now it's the Rangers, or now it's the Cardinals who have to build on that development from here. I don't expect him to be flipped again. I don't think that's, he's probably going to be in St. Louis for a little while. But I think this comes more from what he had put in the first year to make another team want him.
We're talking with MLB Pipeline's Sam Dykstra. Final thing for in the future, we'll probably reach out and try to get you on again to talk more about players that have already been in the organization and recently drafted. But I wanted to spend some time on these new players to the organization. But I can't get you out of here without just hearing your kind of updated thoughts on J.J. Weatherholt, as he is having no problem at AAA. A lot of Cardinals fans are hopeful maybe we'll see him before the end of the year. I'm not sure if that's going to happen. But what's your expectation? What's your comp? Where, as you look at J.J. Weatherholt, what are you expecting him to be at the big leagues?
Yeah, I think he's going to be one of the best hitters in the NL Central at some point. I mean, it's just, it's really good strike zone judgment. It's a guy who sees the ball incredibly well, shoots it to the gaps. We're seeing, obviously, better home run power than maybe we were expecting out of the gate. I don't think I had J.J. Weatherholt as a guy who's going to slug 750 in his first 16 games, but I think he's pounding mistakes that pitchers are making at the AAA level. One thing I've heard over and over and over this year is that the jump to AAA is extremely difficult for pitchers. You're dealing with the new major league ball. You know, the grip's a little different. Sometimes they struggle with command. And for J.J. Weatherholt, given what we know from his bat control and what his power can be, he's jumping on those mistakes immediately. Now, what happens when he transitions to the major league level? I don't think he's going to be quite this hot, but I think he's somebody who could definitely compete for a 300 average year in, year out, hit 15 to 20 homers, play up the middle. That's a really valuable piece. That's a potential all-star, multi-time all-star. And slot him, I know they got to figure out Brendan Donovan and maybe move some pieces around, but putting him next to Mason Winn, that's a solid double play combination for years to come.
Sam Dykstra does an incredible job when the whole team at MLB Pipeline does. Just give a plug for folks who maybe haven't really jumped into following along with prospects and how you guys honestly make it very, very easy to learn about guys and see what's going on. I feel like that's part of what you guys do, just the education of what's going on below the major leagues.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah, we rank all 30 farm systems. We do 30 prospects in each system. We do a top 100 overall. Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo do a tremendous job of ranking top 250 draft prospects every year. You can find all of that at MLB.com/pipeline. I will say we are updating our list completely, including the draft picks. So Liam Doyle will be included very soon here next week. We are in the midst of that work right now, and it's a lot of sleepless nights and contacting sources and getting everything as organized as we can. But it's very exciting to give these lists some new polish and some updated reports. So look for that next week.
He is Sam Dykstra. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Dykstra, MILB. Follow along with everything they've got going at MLB Pipeline. Sam, thanks so much for the time. We'll check in again real soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
That's Sam Dykstra. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up in just a moment. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Back to the Graybar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Back at it here on KMOX. It is the Graybar Sports Open Line. We appreciate you being a part of the program today. As always, if you want to chime in on anything that we're talking about, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. year, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
367-9900, that's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or for those of you who are watching the video stream, you can leave a comment, and we can address some of those comments as we go along. I'm just curious to throw this out here. We'll see what kind of responses we get and whether or not we revisit this as the show goes along. I'm so used to games, as the show goes along. But we just had a good conversation about the new players that the Cardinals are bringing in. And Sam Dykstra, who we just talked to, man, he knows his stuff. Some of these guys, I don't know how they do it. It's tough enough to follow along with everybody in Major League Baseball. You get to these people who are really good with prospects. Man, you can name a random prospect from a random organization and boom, they're just going to tell you all about them. And Sam's a lot like that. So appreciate him taking the time. But if you are one of the people who had questions about the type of player the Cardinals are getting back at the deadline, and if some of those questions were just answered with what you heard from Sam Dykstra, I would be curious to hear your thoughts if anything has changed. A lot of people are not felt like the Cardinals should have gotten more. I think that anytime you can augment your minor league system, there is value in that, especially when we're talking about contracts that are expiring. I don't think any of these players that the Cardinals got are going to be the difference between a World Series and not, but I think that the Cardinals did well to add to the organization. The other thing that we are doing, and this is going to be the vast majority of the rest of the show, I'm with you on Sports Open Line for another hour and 20 minutes. We'll take you till 8 o'clock this evening, and then I'll take over for Cardinals pregame at about 8:15 after the 8 o'clock news. But we're going to replay cuts from Oliver Marmol's conversation that he had today with Tom Ackerman, Chris Ronji, and Bernie Miklas that he has every Tuesday at 12 noon on the Gas House Gang. And the thing that I've gotten to do that show with Ollie once, and it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed doing it. I enjoy almost as much being able to play back cuts and kind of comment on the spot on some of the things that that Ollie had to say. So let's start with this, because I have been of the belief that the Cardinals would be well served to give more players more time off, especially someone like a Nolan Arenado, but not just Nolan Arenado. I think Lars Nootbaar, I think Mason Winn. There's a bunch of guys who I would like to see them give more days off to. Arenado, a future Hall of Famer who has spent his entire career playing every single day, when he is healthy, he has played every day. That being said, his offense has not been especially good this year. His defense has continued to be top-notch, but it's a year where you'd like to learn something, and there was a lot of talk about Nolan Gorman getting that opportunity at third base on an almost everyday basis. this conversation, I guess, doesn't totally matter right now because Arenado's injured and there's not much of a timeline on when he might be able to return. Maybe he doesn't return this year. I think there is a possibility that Arenado has actually played his last game as a Cardinal. I'm not convinced of that. I'm not even saying that's over 50% chance. I'm just leaving open the possibility that Arenado's time with the Cardinals could be done. He might be done for the rest of the year, and a decision gets made to get him somewhere else for next year. All that being said, I found it interesting when Ali talked about the role for Arenado on this team.
It is a very difficult question. And the only way to answer it is while he's here, he needs to play. And until that's not the case, then, I mean, you're looking at a guy that you need to continue to put out there based on him being the leader of this club and being an everyday player and a Hall of Fame player. And every at-bat he has, man, I know it hasn't looked good this year, but I'm hopeful that it turns and it turns and it turns because of how hard he works. I mean, I've yet to come across someone that works as hard as this guy. It is extremely impressive. But yeah, it does make it difficult when you're trying to think of future and what does that look like? Is it here? Is it not here? Are you wanting to mix in the young guys? And that's something that I think starting in spring training, we knew was going to make it difficult to get Gorman the everyday at bats to find out what he's all about. So it hasn't been the easiest to rotate these guys in, but I feel like we've done as good of a job as we can with the amount of guys that need at-bats.
More on the Gorman thing and the other players playing third base in a moment. I've been talking about this with some other folks. Like bluntly, I don't love that answer from Ali, where he talks about Arenado, look, he's a leader of this team. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's going to play. That's not my favorite answer from him, because to me, that if Arenado's not giving you the best chance to win on any given day, even with him being a much better defensive player than whoever else you would put at third. Nolan Arenado is exponentially a better defensive third baseman than Nolan Gorman. Same thing with Thomas Ajayi. Same thing with Brendan Donovan. Like, whoever you want to put over there at third, in no way, shape, or form am I saying that their defense is going to match Arenado's defense. It simply is not. Arenado is arguably the greatest defensive third baseman that has ever played Major League Baseball. And while he is not at the absolute peak of his defensive prowess, he is still the best thing the Cardinals have, and he's having a nice season. All that being said, he has been, his offense, what he has done at the plate this year has not been good. And I'm not trying to like take a shot at the guy. Like, this is, there's nothing personal about this. Arenado has long been one of my favorite guys to watch play baseball. But when you're talking about a guy with a .235 batting average and a .660 OPS, obviously from an offensive standpoint, it's just not happening for him. How much of that was connected to his shoulder here recently that he tried to play through? Maybe some of it. Like, I'm not unwilling to be accepting of that. I mean, in the month of July, he hit .175. This is after he had a June where he hit .275 with a .730 OPS. And so that's respectable what he did in June for sure. It's not great, but it is respectable. So his batting average from the end of June to the end of July when he last played, it went from .247 to .235. His OPS dropped from over 700 to that .660 number that I mentioned. So yeah, obviously the shoulder issue that he was trying to play through has something to do with what's going on. So just using the overall season stats, not completely fair to Arenado. But even if we stop at the end of June and look at what his numbers are in that moment when he's basically a .250 hitter with a .700 OPS, that's not this super difference-making guy. And just the idea that, this gets how mean, that he's got like this God-given right to be the everyday third baseman. I think it's okay to give him some time and give him some more days. Now, also, what's Ali going to say in this situation, right? I don't know where he stands on this. He knows what the numbers are, but he can't sit here and say, oh yeah, we're going to bench him. We're going to turn him into a bench player. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. That doesn't do any good in the forum that they were in earlier today. Especially, let's say they already know that Arenado's done for the year. There's a possibility that's the case. Maybe they know that this Arenado shoulder injury thing is a 5-6 week injury. So once you get to that point, you'd have to send him on a rehab assignment. That's going to take a week or so. And by the time you're done with that, there's a week, there's 2 weeks left in the season. Is it really worth it at that point? So what are you going to say about Arenado? If you already know that information, which I'm not saying they do, but maybe they do. It is not the most crazy thing to say. Well, then you continue to lift up your guy. You continue to lift up your leader. You continue to put this guy in a spot where you say he is going to be the everyday third baseman. So I think it is good sometimes to really think through the various possibilities on what's being said. We're going to continue to talk about that third base spot coming up in just a moment. What do they do? How does it look? Because yesterday was an opportunity to start Nolan Gorman and what you thought might be an okay spot in terms of who was pitching. He didn't start. Thomas Tsujaysi did. You want to get Tsujaysi playing time. How do you handle all of that? How do you give Gorman that runway that they've talked about so much? We'll hear Ali's thoughts on that coming up in just a moment here on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
We are continuing to kind of go through our audit of what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say during the Gas House game today. We're talking through the third base situation. Yesterday, Thomas Tsujaysi was the guy who started at third base. Nolan Arenado out right now due to injury. We don't know when he is going to return. So you thought yesterday would have been a good day for Gorman to be in there. He wasn't. So Marmol was asked today, what does it really look like in terms of the third base position right now, the way the roster is set up?
And I'd like to continue to rotate them. When you look at Gorman, and I can say this because it's been a conversation with him, he needs to continue to work on his overall agility and mobility around the bag and just being able to get to certain balls and just move better. And that's something that he's going to continue to work on. And so Tsujaysi, he gets to more. And Kapickett, he made a couple plays last night that were really nice plays. But offensively, he's got some stuff that he's got to tighten up as well. So you give him a decent amount of opportunity and rotate the two of them and hope that it starts to become a little bit more consistent on both sides of the baseball.
Yeah, I think that's what they're really looking for right now. Now, I would be of the belief that in a perfect world, I would get Gorman in there more often than not, just because I think there's more. I don't know. There's more of there's more urgency to having Gorman in there. As far as the third base position goes today, Gorman is at third. And when looking at Gorman and looking at third and making sure that he is continuing to get the opportunity, this is what Marmol said about getting him in there just about every day.
And that's what you don't want to miss on, is exactly what you just said, because it is over 1,400 at-bats. And when you talk about he hasn't been consistent when it comes to playing time, there's been a decent amount of runs there, meaningful runs that give you an opportunity to show what you're all about. You can say the same thing about Burleson, but at some point you make it impossible for the manager to take you out of the lineup. That's what makes you an everyday player when you're young. Let's get serious, okay? Like you play enough to show what you're capable of doing, and then, man, just make it really damn hard for people to envision the lineup without you in it. And there's been certain guys, Donnie and Burley and others, that have done a nice job of that. So that's what makes the big leagues very difficult, is just taking advantage of the opportunities given.
The old adage in sports is don't like it, play better. And that's kind of what Ali is saying. If Nolan Gorman wants to be an everyday guy, well, then he has to perform in a way that you can't take him out. And I think at times he has started down that path, but he has not been able to remain consistent with it. And at other times, it feels like he's swinging a hot bat and they're still not finding that opportunity. It's a really convoluted situation for sure. We got a text message from Jim in Granite City who mentions he's a season ticket holder, listens to a lot of KMOX, talked about Gorman, you know, working on the agility and the range at third base, just like we heard Ali talk about. And he said Bernie mentioned that he really only has 43 appearances at third, and then says his observation, has Nolan gained any weight? Looks a little bulky at third to me. I haven't noticed that at all. Not that I've looked for that, but no, I don't think he looks bulky over there. I mean, his body is not that of the stereotypical third baseman, I guess, but I don't think it's anything that is worth mentioning. And as far as the 43 appearances at third, I mean, don't forget, this is a guy who did come up in the minor leagues as a third baseman, and then the moment the organization acquires Nolan Arenado, they get him over to second base and have him go for there. So he's played a lot of third. He has not played a lot of third recently at the major league level. So that's the thing here. And I know at times it doesn't look great with him. The throw the other day with the Contreras play, the missed pop-up, things like that. And I'm not trying to dismiss those as things that don't matter, but I will say that I think it's worth watching him play through those issues and see how much better he can get at third. He's never going to be Nolan Arenado over there, but I think he can be more than serviceable and be a very much a plus player if the bat comes along with him. We'll continue to talk through this. We'll also talk with Corey Miller from Channel 5 in just a moment here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.